Amen. Be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you we can come here and gather together in this first Sunday in 2019. And Lord, we want to give the whole year to you. And Lord, look to you and how you're working through the nation and through your body and through each one of us. And that, Lord, you truly do care about us more than we could ever imagine. And so I pray this morning you truly be our teacher, and that this would just in a powerful way, just we could all claim it as a new beginning, a new moving forward, Lord, and being encouraged as we look forward to what the year holds for us. And so we thank you for your protection and guidance 2018, and we're looking more so to practice the things we have learned and call out upon you. So we praise your name. Pray you to anoint me to speak words of the Spirit in each heart, to be open to the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 7 and 7 and 8. We're going to start off with that. Luke chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. It says this: "Say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And what we have is we sometimes lose a little context because we're going through the book of Luke. So we've been in there several months. And so we're teaching about, you know, it starts out, Luke has this investigation. So he's unfolding what he has found out. And so he's looking at this. And so we've had the miraculous birth and Jesus is teaching, his coming before the people. So it's important to kind of notice here in chapter 7, this is the first place in Luke where Jesus actually interacts with Gentiles, with non-Jewish people, with, if you will, non-religious people. So there's a significance here that this is a little different little ministry for Jesus. Now, what we have here is fascinating. We have a lesson on the power of being under authority, the power of being under authority. And this spiritual lesson does not come from the religious, but comes from a military officer. Now, as we look at this, you know, I've actually heard this preached like, okay, this is the reason you should be under your boss's authority, or even some that I've heard, this is the reason you should be under your pastor's authority, you know. But this is not what this is talking about, okay? This is not what it's talking about. Now, there's certainly a definite principle about authority that we need to pay attention to, because God works through authorities. But what he's showing us here is fascinating, is that he is showing that that through the context of this military officer, God is giving us a lesson of how God works through his people. And if we grasp what he's saying about how God works through his people, it's really powerful, and it, you know, puts us in a different light about how we function in this world, how God intended. So as we have this verse up here, I'm going to kind of read some context in it. We don't have this on an overhead, but you can just follow along as I read it, as I give context to this. So here we have Jesus. He's had his ministry. He had his tremendous teaching. And then he says this. Then it says this in Luke 7:1. "After he had finished all his sayings and in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick." Now again, a centurion, a Roman officer, he was over 100 people. So now a centurion, a Roman centurion, had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come to heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "The centurion, he is worthy to have you come and do this, because he loves our nation, and he is the one who built our synagogue." And so here you have, And it's important to know as you read through the scriptures, you have Israel, the nation of Israel, in which Jesus was born into. It is under oppression of the Roman Empire, the massive Roman Empire. So they control Israel. So they really, militarily, they oversee it, and so they run everything there. Well, here you have a military officer that is sympathetic to the Jewish faith. He even built a synagogue for them and said, this guy is good, okay? He has rule over us and responsible, but he's shown us mercy. So these Jews come before Jesus. He asked these Jews to go to Jesus to come and heal him, to come and heal his servant, because he heard about him. Now, what's interesting here, this is a Gentile, non-religious, military ruler, all right? This military officer immediately recognizes Jesus' status, his position. He recognizes not that he is Christ the Messiah, but he recognizes his authority. He recognizes something different about him, and he recognizes where he gets his authority. Again, this is the non-religious seeing this. This is the Gentiles. When I say Gentiles, that means like me and you, all right, for the most part. So it says in Luke chapter 7, verse 6, I'll just continue with the context. And so Jesus says, okay, I'll go with you. So Jesus went with them, and when he was not far away from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself. Told Jesus, Lord, send some friends out. Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. Again, the context is important here. You have the Romans. They are overseeing. They are the conquerors over Israel. All right? They demanded taxes. You had to do what they say. So Jesus comes. So this commander that's overseeing, that's conquering Israel, says to Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. He sees something in him. It's different. Now, so, and we have this context, and we look at this, and this message that God's teaching us, this Roman military commander recognizes authority and power. You know, I think it's interesting, the military, he has the example of a military officer to teach about authority and power, because the military understands authority and power. And so this military commander recognizes it in Jesus. He sees it. He's seen it before, and he knows that he sees it now in Jesus. So this Roman military officer recognizes this, one reason, because he recognizes his own authority and power, and it comes from those over him. He knows full well where you get authority and power. It comes from the ones over you. Therefore, the Roman military officer did not refer to himself as a man in authority. He referred to himself as a man under authority. He said, I too am a man under authority. I mean, he's running the show. He's telling everybody what to do. But he says, he didn't say he's a man in authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. Therefore, the power comes from those over him. Over him. Therefore, being under authority with power from those over him, all he had to do, and all this Roman officer had to do, was speak. And what he said was carried out because he was a man under authority. Now let's just read it again and think about this. We won't get the point here. So here you have someone under authority with tremendous power. Power to let live, power to kill, power to put in prison, all right? He's running the show. There wasn't anyone second guessing him, under him, all right? So he says this. He looks at Jesus and he totally understands authority because his own position. He understands how it works because of his own position. Amen? Military. So let's read it one more time. Therefore, he said, therefore, I do not presume to come to you, but you say the word. I don't need you to come to my house, but you say the word and let my servant be healed. Don't come to my house. Don't come see the servant. You just say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man under authority. He's saying, just Jesus, just like you're a man under authority, I too am a man under authority. He sees how this thing's working, okay? And we have a physical picture here. And then he says, so he recognizes, so he says, see too, I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go. He goes. To another, come. He comes. To a servant, do this. He does it. I understand how this works, Jesus. So you just speak the word. You don't have to come. You just speak the word because you are the man under authority. And when you speak, things are going to happen because you're under authority. Now, I wrote this down, and it was just process of trying to put the whole thing together to grab the meaning here. So the Roman military officer recognizes that Jesus, like himself, drew his authority from a higher source. The Roman military officer, he knew full well where his power came from. It came from the authorities above him. And he saw Jesus as a man. He knows that his authorities come from this power above him, meaning God himself. He could see that. And he knew that all Jesus, and therefore he knew that all Jesus had to do was speak, and all spiritual power would move to carry out what Jesus said. Now that, so a military guy, he's going, this guy's different. He's under authority. Physically, I understand this because I'm under authority, but spiritually, this guy has power in the spirit. He's under God Almighty. And as I speak physically and others do it, Jesus will speak, and spiritually, God will usher everything, and it will be just what God said it would be. All Jesus has to do is speak. And he's using himself as an example. He understands it because of the authority he had, being under authority. See what I mean? So he sees this in Jesus, but he sees also that Jesus has spiritual authority. So we have the physical example here. Now, here's the thing. We look at this, to be powerful Christians, to be powerful, we all want to be powerful Christians, all right? Okay, we want to be powerful. Then we need to understand what it means to be under authority. We need to understand what it means to be under authority. Now, as Christians, we don't stand on our own authority, but we stand in the authority of God. See? It is God who is authority, and we are under that authority, and therefore all our power comes from him. So we need to understand how to stand under the authority of God. Amen? That's what this whole lesson is about. And this military, so here this guy, and this is what's so important, this guy in the military, he could see the power, he could see what would happen, and he could see how it worked in this world. And he looks up and he sees Jesus. He goes, okay, he's got that power in the spirit. All he's got to do is say the give the word and my servant be healed. That's it. He's just got, because he understood it. Now, we'll just pause here and let's look at another physical example. Another physical example. And so it's, and by the way, the scripture is full of these. And so you think, man, I think maybe God's trying to tell us something because he repeats this principle over and over. Now, the one I'm going to use, there's several I could use, but the one I want to use is Joseph. He's Joseph. Now, Joseph, an interesting guy. Now, so he, when everything goes wrong, you think, God's left me. Well, sometimes when everything goes wrong, God is just all around you, you know? We're just bellyaching about it, but he's all around you, taking you to where you should be. So Joseph, you know, his brothers sell him into slavery. You know, that's just kind of, just kind of upsets the family, you know, dynamic when you do, when you sell one of your siblings into slavery. You know, it's like, come on, you know, something, you got a lot of questions come up about that, doesn't it? So they sell him into slavery, so he goes, and make a long story short, he gets put in prison, and he's in prison with a couple of another dignitaries from Pharaoh. You know, they messed up, so he's in prison with Joseph, and they have a dream, and, you know, and so what Joseph does, interprets this dream. So these guys, Pharaoh lets one of them off, kills the other one. You know, that's what authorities do. They lets one off, kills the other one. So this guy's here, and so he has a dream. So Pharaoh has a dream. Pharaoh has a dream. He says, oh my gosh, this dream, I don't know what this is. I can't believe I'm having this dream. Nobody can interpret it. And this guy he let off the hook says, you know, I met this guy in prison, you know, and he interprets dreams. He interprets my dream. He says, really? So Pharaoh says, well, bring him here to me. So he brings Joseph, and he's been jailed 2 or 3 years. I mean, you know, God, you can't accuse God of being quick. I mean, you just can't, all right? So he shows up, and he says, here's my dream, okay? And so Joseph interprets his dream, and Pharaoh goes, you're right. That's exactly what. See, what Joseph did, and this is the killer about interpreting dreams, Joseph told him what the dream was, and then he interpreted it. See, so it's like, so what happens, you have this situation where Pharaoh goes, you know, I think we got some stuff going on and we need some help. I believe you're the guy to help. You, because you interpret this dream, you're the guy to help. And so he brings Joseph on as second in command. Not bad for a kid his brother sold into slavery, you know? Okay, but as I have a trip there. So I just want you to have a background. So now, here is Joseph. And Joseph just got out of prison. What authority does he have? Nothing, all right? So Pharaoh brings him to his side, and he says this to Joseph. He says this to Joseph. Genesis 41, 44. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Just in case you forgot, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one will lift up a hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. I am Pharaoh. I am the boss. However, no one's going to do one thing unless you tell them to. Joseph was a man under authority. The authority was Pharaoh. But Joseph was the one under authority, and so what Joseph said happened. And you know, if they didn't do it, did Joseph get upset, get mad? He goes, hey man, I'm going to tell Pharaoh. You know, well, don't tell Pharaoh, then do it. I mean, there's no pressure under authority, you know, because God, Pharaoh's in authority, and that's where the power came from, is Pharaoh. So Joseph, under authority, ran Egypt, ran the whole country. He was under authority. Same thing that this Roman military officer knew. Same thing. I'm under authority, and I have power because I'm under authority. So, all the authority was with Pharaoh, but it was exercised by Joseph. The same principle applies to us. As Christians, we exercise authority and power that totally belongs to God. You know, if this was in Genesis 41, 44, it says, moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. See, it would be God. It says, moreover, God said to us, I am God. Just in case you forgot, I am God, and you are, and everything I want to do, I'm going to do through you. I'm going to give you the power, but the power is mine. The one who exercised the power is you. What did Jesus say to the disciples? It's good I go to the Father, because you will do greater things than I will. As I wasn't under authority, as you are under authority, you will do greater things. Because it's not us, it's God who has the power. It's up to us to get under authority. Amen? That's what it says. So you have that military officer. And what's fascinating, I don't look at this military officer as just some theological genius. Now, you know, he hadn't been studying his Bible. What he did, he understood authority and power. So he did. He understood how it works. By the way, it still works today, same way. But as Christians, what he's saying is we need to understand that God has all authority over the whole universe. And as we get under that authority, then he exercises it through us. The military officer saw it. He goes, just say the word. You don't need to come to my house. Just say the word. Now, here, let's make the application. You know, you can look at these accounts and think, oh man, that's cool. Wow, you know, it'd been neat to be there and see that. That's not what this is. This is for us to appropriate today. Everyone, like, well, who? You know, well, let's try these. The people that Jesus died for. Who's that? Anybody want to raise their hand? Well, he died for me. Okay, then he's talking to you. See, he died for you. He paid the penalty. Your sins are forgiven. Therefore, he is appropriating that authority to you. He just wants you to get under him, under authority to hear, and then do what he says. See, now look, the scripture's full of it. And God, and we see God, and we know that God has power when he speaks. Therefore, if he works through us, when we speak and he works through us, we have power under God's authority. Amen? Now look at this. Isaiah 55:11. Good scripture for looking at the Bible. A good scripture for looking at the power of the Creator God. And there's an application here to us. Isaiah 55:1. God says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. That's what God says. It will not return to me empty. God's going, you think I'm going to say something and nothing's going to happen? No, something's going to happen. That's what he's saying. So the word that goes out from his mouth, it shall not return to him empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in bringing the thing for which I sent it. He goes, it's going to happen. Joseph, when his brothers sold him into slavery, what is Joseph thinking? Ain't happening. It's not happening, you know? God goes, why are you saying that? Is it about you or is it about me? Are you under authority? What your problem is, it's your authority that you think you're in, and then that's not working. But if you're under my authority, you're going, all right, I can go, you know, so I got nasty siblings, you know, and I've been to slavery, but okay, God. Then what they does, and I left this out of the story, sells him to a slave to this rich guy, okay? Well, this rich guy has this kind of not too upstanding wife. Okay, so she's flirting with Joseph. She's flirting with Joseph. He goes, listen, this ain't working. This is wrong. Daddy taught me better. This is wrong, you know. And so she catches him alone. He just hits it out the door. She grabs his cloak, and she's mad. And she's so she accuses him of attacking her. So the man comes back, and she says, listen. And he likes Joseph. He said, look what he did. All right, then it throws Joseph in the can. Goes, Joseph, I did what I was supposed to do. Look, here I am. I did the right thing. Brothers sell me into slavery. Now this, falsely accused by this woman, and the guy throws me into prison. He says, what is this? What is this? So now he's in prison. And then he's thinking, God, this is not his power. There's no power. Joseph said, I have no power in this. Did God have any power? God had some power. See? So it's up to God, not to us. So Joseph is always to be under authority of God. And then we have Pharaoh comes in, has this dream. This guy's, he lets, I met this guy in prison. You know, what a resume. Hey, yeah, I met him in prison. All right, give him a job. So here you come in. And so here he comes, and he is the one interprets the dream. And now he is the one that has all authority of Pharaoh, because Pharaoh gave it to him. Joseph always was under the authority of God. He didn't like being sold in slavery. he didn't like he had nasty siblings. He didn't like being in prison. Okay. But what the lesson teaches us, if being under authority of God, we depend on what God is doing, and we rest secure in that. Because when he says it, it comes to pass. When he says it, it's going to happen. And we just have to persevere in the situations we're in under God, and he will bring us up through to where the most powerful nation in the world, the most powerful leader, gave Joseph all the power to run that nation. What brilliant thing that did Joseph do? What brilliant thing did Joseph do? He just like, man, I did the right thing with this kind of flirtatious woman. I got canned for that. You know, I tried to be nice to my brothers. Maybe I said a few things like, but they shouldn't have sold me into slavery. Good grief, you know. That's overkill. All right. But see what I'm saying? So all this, but what it got, was God ever worried in this whole trek that Joseph took? In fact, when you read it, and I think it's in chapter 50, it just slipped my mind. When Joseph's brothers came back, okay, because they ran out of food, so they came back and Joseph is giving them food. Now that's a turn of events, isn't it? And then they figure out, that's Joseph. And they're going, oh, this ain't gonna look good for us. You know, so they come back to him and they said, you know, we're really, really, really sorry. You know, we're really sorry. And we hope you just don't take it out on us. You know what Joseph said? One of the most incredible verses in the Bible in Genesis. He goes, that's okay. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. How does that tell you about our life? See, how does that tell you? You're under authority. It's not our authority, it's God's authority. Constantly under God's authority, hearing what he says. And when God speaks forth his word, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You think Jesus came and died for you, gave himself up for you, and is not going to take care of you? He's speaking things into your life right now. He's speaking things. And some things, you know, I just got nasty family, and I just got sold into slavery. He's speaking things. See, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And then I got this rich guy, and I'm doing really good work for him. He really likes me. And man, this crazy woman over here, what did she do? Well, I didn't do nothing. Where's God? He's seen the play. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And now he ends up in prison. What a closer place to be to Pharaoh than in Pharaoh's prison. Then he interprets a dream. Then Pharaoh brings him into the place. You see, they meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And all this comes back to this. This is what this centurion saw. He didn't have any biblical education. Well, I wouldn't assume any biblical education, but he knew authority. And it's the same authority that comes through all of Scripture. But we're under God's authority. Amen? Amen. And this is a good verse. And this is a great verse for why you should read your Bible. You know, we could even do a message on that, whatever you want. Because God is going to tell us what he's speaking forth, what he's telling us. He's going to speak forth things. And when he speaks it forth, it's not going to come back in because he said it. Because he said it. Just think about it. How were the worlds created? Genesis 1:1. All the worlds. How they're created? God said. That's it. And the God who said, we're under his authority, he goes, say this through me. The authority comes from God. Fascinating. Now, the words we speak, and this is applied to us, the words we speak will complete its purpose and never return empty. Because if God's working through us and showing us what to say and speaks through us, then his words that he speaks out through us are not going to return empty. They're going to fulfill those purposes. You see what I'm saying? Now, we have a great verse for that. I mean, of course, it'd be helpful if we spoke again, you know, according to God's will, you know. Look at 1 Peter 4:11. And again, the same mindset is flowing through this. The same mindset is flowing through this and us understanding who we are. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, they should speak. They should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. You want to speak? You speak like the very words of God because I'm going to make an impact. I'm going to move into this world. And that centurion, without the religious background, says, I don't come under my house. You're men under authority. Just say the word. He knew. Well, this is for us because we accept Jesus. We have Christ in us, and he moves through us, and we speak with authority and power as God leads us. He goes, now you should speak like the oracles of God. And I'm going to even say this. I think even when we speak bad words as Christians, they have a powerful impact to the negative. Because we could say them, and they have power. I mean, if God just got mad and said something nasty, oh, gosh, that didn't work out. But he's not going to do that. So it just tells us, and then God tells us, you're going to be held accountable for every word you say. I think, Lord Jesus. I mean, I'm going to start now and just, I have to repent all of 2019. I mean, it's just like, Lordy me. Because the whole point is the words have power. And with Christians, they have divine power. I think all of Christians' words have divine power. We need to be careful what we say, and we need to think about it, and we should speak so as the oracles of God. Now, this all starts making sense. It starts pulling together when Jesus will tell his disciples, he says, now I want you to be under authority, and says, and when you're getting problems, if you're under authority, don't worry about it because I'm going to take care of you. So this would be a good 2019 verse for us because this is what he told. Again, it flows up, and this is what he's telling his disciples, because you're going to be in tough situations, and you're not going to know what to say. You're not going to know what to say. However, Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, so don't worry. Matthew 10:19-21. And by the way, there's several of these. Matthew 10:19-20. When they deliver you over, I always like the when they deliver you over, like maybe if they deliver you over, maybe if something, it's like, no, when it happens. It's going to happen. So I'm getting you prepared before it happens. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you. What's somebody going to give me a tract? Going to hand me a book? Or what are they going to? I mean, how are they going to be given to me? Verse 4. It is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. How many has Jesus paid the penalty for your sins? You washed clean. Okay? Therefore, how many of you received the Holy Spirit? Born again. Everybody that's accepted Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit will be the one speaking through the people he's indwelling. Be under authority. Be under authority. Hear what God's saying. Speak. It will not come back void. If you're sold into slavery, speak what God says. It will not come back void. If you're in prison, be under authority. Speak what God tells you. It will not come back void. And when you're under authority and things are working good, speak what God shows you. It will not come back void. In fact, I think Joseph probably learned his lessons as a slave and in prison, that when he had authority, he was cautious about what he said. He said, ooh, God did this. I need to pay attention. So here you have it. Fascinating verses. Now, so you see that when we're in something, how do you know that the Spirit's going to give it to you? Because we're going to be under authority, and we're going to hear, and we're going to speak, and therefore it's power because it comes from God, and God created the worlds by just speaking. That's who we are. See, that's who we are. Somebody's going, nah, that ain't me. Yeah, no, God says that's who you are. It is who you are. Understand that. Well, no, I've been sold in slavery. My brothers and sisters stink. It ain't me. No, it is you. It is you. No, I was falsely accused. Nobody likes me. I was thrown in prison. It ain't me. No, it is you. It has to. You got to believe it's you in slavery. You got to believe it's you in prison so that when you're put in a position of authority, physically, that you'll know how to speak, because those were the lessons you learned that brought you there. Amen? You see how that's going? So, now, here's how important this is. So this is what Jesus, I really believe this is what Jesus intended. He intended, but he knows us. You know, I mean, the whole Bible is him trying to convince us who we are. We're going, Yeah, you really are. We're going, You see, he's telling us, and we will not believe it. No, not me, Come on. He's telling us who we are. And so what happens when somebody finally gets it, it's like, wow. I mean, you want to have Jesus go, wow. I mean, that's what's going to happen. When we get it, Jesus is going to go, wow, they got it. It's not like, oh, you did it and that's, I couldn't believe it. It's that you got it. That's the wow. You know, oh my gosh, they got, wow. And he just marvels. Can you imagine God looking and just marveling? Could you? He just looking and just marvels. Well, there's one place in Scripture where it says he marveled. One place that he marveled. Well, there's two places. One place he marveled at people because of their lack of faith. He's like, hey, no matter what you tell. It just doesn't make any difference. He marveled. But other than that, there's another place where God just marveled. Oh, man. He just marveled at some place. You know where it was? This account. He marveled at this military officer. He said, oh, my gosh. He got it. He hadn't even been to seminary. He got it. He's not even a Jew. He got it. Oh, my gosh. He got it. Listen to what it says. Luke chapter 7, verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, what things? What the centurion just said. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Can you imagine Jesus walking up to you and go, whoa, wow. That's what he did to that centurion. Oh, my gosh. When Jesus heard these things, the centurion said, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd, he said, I'm going to let everybody know. I'm going to turn to the crowd. Look, he turned to the crowd that followed him. He said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. No place. That's like turning to Israel. It's like turning to all the church people. Man, this Gentile got more faith than the whole bunch of you put together. He marveled. That's what it says. See, so Jesus marveled. And then he goes, and when those who had been sent returned to his house, they found the servant well. Jesus says, hey, healing, man, this is, I'm marveling, you know. Heal this guy. Amen? See, the whole point, power under authority. You know, we think, you know, power in authority. You know, no, it's power on authority. I'm walking along under the authority and power of God. And that's how I speak, and that's how God's looking at me. Like Jesus says, when I go, you'll do greater things than who? Me. It's just consistent. It's totally consistent. Again, here's the application for 2019 I want us all to walk away with. God, that's how God wants us to live. He's trying to tell us who we are. And when we have nasty family, okay, God goes, so what? They mean it for evil, but I mean it for good. Be under authority. Because there's power coming through that. And you go from the nasty family to prison. I mean, that's really a nasty family. You go from nasty family to prison. God, it's not me. This, I'm here. You say, no, it is me. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Be under authority. Be under, keep going. Be under authority. And you speak, and the power of God comes out of you. And you speak, and what you say will come to pass under the authority of God. Now, is that a bad place to be? He is trying to tell us who you are. Who you are. See, we just think everything's got to go well to be who we are. No, that's where he said, when you get into this, this is a fallen world. This is a fallen world. Things don't go right. All right? But we're under God's authority. Amen? Hallelujah. So anything, any position, anything you do, you realize that. Whatever evil has, God meant it for good. They meant it for evil, God meant it for good. So And it all is based on this one message. Okay, we go back to the one message right here, John 3:16. How do you know? This is how we know. This is how we know. Well, how can I experience that? This is how you experience it. This is the only verse. This is the only verse through which you can experience it. If you don't get this verse, you can't experience anything. Okay? Again, we talk about the whole world around us that don't know Jesus. Don't talk to them about any of this, no? This is the only verse you can talk to them about because it's this verse in which all power flows. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the good news. And so we have the good news, so we're going to walk under the authority of God in power because we know who we are. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your love. And so we give you all things. Lord, it's just, I'll just put it this way, it's beyond my comprehension about what you say about me. I can't even grasp it. But Lord, I want to be like the centurion. I want to be like the centurion, the Roman military officer, and understand authority and be under your authority and know it is not about me, it's about you, that the authority comes from you, that the power comes from you, and that you flow through your weak vessels. The Apostle Paul understood this, and he said, in my weakness, I am strong. It's under the authority of God. So I pray a blessing on each person here for 2019, that you would encourage them, they'd walk in confidence, authority, and power, and confidence, no matter what is thrown at them, that God cares for them more than they could ever imagine, cares for us more than we can ever imagine. And we just give you praise and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. And all God's people say, amen.